the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
The Gulf South.
It's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Wednesday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado, and Dina Dow joins us in studio today. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Hey.
Welcome,
hey,
Dina.
Hey, Dina. Thanks for being with us.
You're so welcome. I'm happy to be here. I'm definitely not Alicia.
No.
She's so beautiful and so wonderful. But it's so happy to be here to share this time with you guys. So thanks for the invitation.
Well, we're glad to have you and welcome aboard for today.
Thank you.
Hold on for the ride.
I know. It's going to be a good day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and we're going to start our morning off with a prayer, as always, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Gracious God of our ancestors, you led Peter, Julian, Amard, like Jacob in times past, on a journey of faith. Under the guidance of your gentle spirit, Peter, Julian discovered the gift of love in the Eucharist, which your Son Jesus offered for the hungers of humility and humanity. Grant that we may celebrate this mystery worthily, adore it profoundly, and proclaim it for your greater glory. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. St. Peter Julian Amard, pray for us.
Pray for us.
And pray the garbage truck accomplishes what it's setting out to do. I don't know if y'all could hear that. Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
There are people working diligently outside.
Did you hear that, Gabby?
I could definitely hear it.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know if Dave could see me in the control room, but I was definitely making faces and then apologizing to Jesus for the distraction.
Maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't have made mention of it.
It was in the moment of the prayer where you said humility.
So, okay.
Oh, my gosh.
But it's good. At least we're getting the garbage picked up. That's important. So.
And
anyway,
they're working hard, and they're up early too, and we thank them for the job they do.
Let's pray for our garbage men today as well.
Yeah. Absolutely,
they don't get a whole lot
of
credit.
Always wave to them, and thank them whenever we happen to see
them. Give
them
a bottle of water when they pass. Yep.
Oh yeah, especially in the summertime. Oh yeah, them and our recycling people. Oh yeah, definitely tough labor.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, Dina, looking forward to your gospel reflection. That'll be in just about 5 minutes. Also looking forward to Peter Finney joins us in about 20 minutes. He's the editor of, 18 minutes. He's the editor of the Clarion Herald, the official Catholic newspaper of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. He'll give us an update of what you'll find in this week's issue. Dina, of course, joins us. We're going to talk about back to school. A lot of kids are going back to school this week, next week, and of course throughout the month, wherever you are listening from. Father Robert Altier joins us in 48 minutes to talk about his book, God's Plan for Your Marriage, An Exploration of Holy Matrimony from Genesis to the Wedding Feast of the Lamb. So this will be quite an interesting topic, Damian. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am too. Maybe, get some advice to make sure I continue to stay married.
That'd be a great thing.
Yeah,
you can never have enough to fortify your marriage.
No,
yeah,
I agree.
That's beautiful.
I agree.
Looking
sometimes things get neglected along the way.
So. Yeah, we just take each other for granted.
We do. Yeah. Well, we can't take this weather for granted, that's for sure. We can expect showers today that will be moving into our area from the Gulf, with the Houma-Thibodaux area getting rain in the next couple of hours through the mid-morning, and then New Orleans, Baton Rouge, we'll be getting those showers either right around lunchtime, so keep the umbrella handy today, because the chance of rain, 90%, you're going to get wet. And rainfall could be heavy at times also, maybe up to an inch or two, they're saying. So plan for that. Winds are out of the south-southwest at 5 to 10. And temperatures high today, 83. Low's going to be 72. Everybody right now is in the upper 70s, so it's not going to get much warmer than it is now, but the humidity is definitely going to stick around, and we want you to stick around as well, because we have more at 5 after on Wake Up.
good Wednesday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman of that district came and called out, "Have pity on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not say a word in answer to her. His disciples came and asked him, "Send her away, for she keeps calling out after us." He said in reply, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the woman came and did him homage, saying, "Lord, help me." He said in reply, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." Then Jesus said to her in reply, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that hour.
"O woman, great is your faith." That's one of my favorite lines of this gospel passage mm-hmm. that we heard today. "O woman, great is your faith." So this is a very intense and very interesting gospel passage. You know, we see Jesus in the region of Tyre and Sidon, which is known to be Gentile territory, mm-hmm. right? So, right. And of course, the woman is identified as a Canaanite woman. And so she's calling out to the Lord. And I did a little bit of research on this last night and looking at St. Thomas Aquinas' reflection and commentary on this. She calls out to the Lord, and he talks about how great her devotion is. Number one, even though she's a Gentile, her devotion is great because she calls Jesus Lord. Mm-hmm. And then she's asking for pity, you know, like, "Have mercy on me," yeah. you know, asking for pity. And then her humility comes into play, but she has a confidence in her humility towards Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then she petitions to him with this unwavering faith. So she obviously knows something about the coming of the Messiah and is acknowledging that in her faith. And so she's deeply troubled, and then she states her need to Jesus. Like, "I need your help. Like, I'm calling you, Lord. I'm pleading for you. Have mercy on me. And here's my stating my need. Like, I need your
yeah,
help.
Yeah.
My daughter..."
Almost in a prayerful form.
Right. "My daughter's is troubled by a devil." Now, that could be a number of things. It could be demonic possession. It could be sinfulness, you know, but mm-hmm. there's always something around us that's troublesome. So this is not far from some of the things that we experience right in our lives today. It could be a troubled conscience. It could be actions, you know, but she's pleading out. And she uses the word grievously. And that word stood out for me because the one time during Mass that we hear the word grievous, right, is when we're saying the Confiteor. Through my thoughts and my fault, through my most grievous fault, mm-hmm. right, really stood out for me. So she associated this with sin. And then Jesus, surprisingly, is silent.
Yeah.
You're just like, "Lord, you know, did you hear her?" And his disciples are like, "Lord," but she insisted,
yeah.
right? And was his silence because he was ignoring her and being rude? No, because our Lord is compassionate and loving, right? But St. Thomas Aquinas, he writes, he says, the answer is, he's going to answer, but not yet, right? Not yet.
Yeah.
So He's acknowledging what's granted from the law, which is for the Israelites, right? He's come for the chosen ones, the Israelites. But we also know that he's come for the Gentiles too, mm-hmm. later. And then his silence causes her to really grow in a deeper devotion and kind of nudge mm-hmm. towards the Lord, right? So she knows, she believes that he's going to be able to answer this.
Yeah, he wanted to make sure it was more than just a surface type of faith.
So he knows that he's come for the chosen people, but the Gentiles as well. He's pushing her devotion just a little bit. And then what we may not think about is that he's waiting to see if the disciples are going to intercede. Because your prayer, mm-hmm. right, can help my mm-hmm. plea, mm-hmm. right, when we're together. And what did they did.
Yeah.
Like, they interceded for her.
Well, they did, but they were almost like, hey, you know, should we get rid of her?
Right. Well, because they didn't, they were like, we don't know if this plea is going to be answered because we know the mission of the Messiah is for the chosen people and you're a Gentile. They didn't quite understand it, but they did plea for her. They did. And so, of course, the miracle happened, you know, that her daughter was cured, right? So his omnipotence in this world. And like three major things, like the miracle happened, her belief. So woman, your faith is so great, so great. So she believed it. And then her beautiful humility. And then the kicker here, the perseverance in prayer, the dedication and our commitment to perseverance in prayer, steering us toward Jesus Christ, knowing and believing he's going to answer our prayer. And sometimes it's not verbatim. Sometimes it's not immediately. Sometimes there's a silence, right? But we know that the Lord is present and listening.
Yeah, well, and what I took away was despite the sufferings that we go through, we personally as well, it also for a loved one, but we have to be patient and faithful at the same time because quite often the healing may not take place instantaneously.
Right.
It may take a while for whatever God's reason.
And the healings come in different forms too.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Could be physical, spiritual.
Could be physical. A lot of times you pray for physical healing and God wants the spiritual healing to take place.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, death, when you're dealing with death.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd love to have a miracle so this person doesn't die.
Right.
But if God's calling them home, the reason it may be prolonged death is for the spiritual healing to take place, not only that individual, but those around them.
Right, and the recognition of the Lord and how greatly we just adore the Lord and know that he hears us, know that he's listening to us, know that he's going to answer the prayers in such a way that there's the glory for him and for the Father, right? And the power of the Holy Spirit for sure to help people endure.
Yeah. Quite often when we get into that point of sinfulness and suffering, we forget how much God does love us.
Right.
And we shouldn't.
Persevere in faith and belief.
Amen.
Yeah. Those are the great takeaways from this.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. So let's pray for those who are suffering today. As you said earlier, let's intercede.
And for them, for the glory of God and for their strength. Amen.
All right. Well, don't go away because Peter Finney's coming your way. Gabby's going to be chatting with him. It is currently 15 after on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 3rd. Today we celebrate St. Peter Julian Aimard. Born in southeastern France in 1811, Peter Julian Aimard struggled with poverty and illness as a young man and with a driving need for perfection throughout his life. He had a deep love of the Eucharist and preached the 40 hours devotion in many parishes. First ordained a diocesan priest, then permitted to enter the Society of Mary, he finally established the Blessed Sacrament Fathers, serving as the congregation's first superior general. Though Peter Julian initially focused his efforts on ending indifference to the Eucharist, he eventually emphasized a more positive spirituality of Christ-centered love. Members of his congregation alternated between an active apostolic life and a quiet life contemplating Jesus in the Eucharist. One was to flow into the other. In 1858, he co-founded the Servants of the Blessed Sacrament for women religious, and later, the Priest Eucharistic League and Archconfraternity of the Blessed Sacrament. Peter Julian Aimard died in 1868 and was canonized in 1962, one day after the end of Vatican II's first session. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. I'm Gabby Smith, joined by Damian Colano, and Dina Dow is with us in our Baton Rouge studio. It's great to have her with us. Stick around. She has more to say right after our next guest. Peter Finney joins us right now. He is the editor and general manager of the Clarion Herald. The Clarion Herald is the official Catholic newspaper of the Archdiocese of New Orleans. And today he joins us to give us an inside peek of what you'll find in this week's issue. And there's a lot of information, you guys. Hey, Peter, good morning.
Hey, Gabby, how are you doing?
I am doing great. We are getting ready to go back to school. The school supplies is fresh and just, I love this time of year because, I don't know, I'm such a nerd. So, Peter, before we get started, let's talk about one of my favorite places in New Orleans, St. Louis Cathedral. You have a story in this week's issue on how we can tour St. Louis Cathedral from the comfort of our home.
Yeah, Gabby, it's really interesting. I mean, everybody knows there are hundreds of thousands of tourists every year visit New Orleans, and a large percentage of them go into St. Louis Cathedral, even if they're not Catholic, to view the historic nature of the cathedral and all the beauty that the cathedral has to offer. And the St. Louis Cathedral staff, Natalie Sherman, who is the director of communications, got together with Father Philip Landry, who is the rector, and said, "Why don't we do a digital tour of the cathedral?" And you know, everybody's familiar with Google Maps, where you know you go through a neighborhood and you can make a 360-degree spin of a neighborhood or a street. Well, this is similar, except it's a lot more enhanced. Every facet of the cathedral is just is incredibly captured with this 360-degree camera technology. And not only that, certain aspects of the cathedral, such as the stained glass windows, such as the basilica symbols, the umbrella and the bell, there's little info boxes where you can press on and get more information. So you can have this, you know, on your smartphone, actually, if you're at the cathedral and take your own self-guided tour, but you don't have to be at the cathedral. You can do it from the comfort of your home, and it's cathedraltour.org, for anybody who wants to take a look at it. And Natalie was telling me that really they hope that schools, there's been, you know, field trips have come back since the pandemic, and they're starting to come back, but you know, those schools that can't get down to the French Quarter and they want to learn more about their faith and more about the cathedral, you can do it in the classroom on the smart board. So it's a really neat thing they're doing, and it's a collaboration with the photographer and digital producer Stephen Young, and they did a really masterful job. So check it out, cathedraltour.org.
That's amazing. I love those kinds of things. And there's so much history with the cathedral. I mean, especially the War of 1812 and so many other things as well. So, and my husband and I got married at the cathedral. So that's a very special place in our heart as well.
There might be a plaque near the sanctuary for that purpose. You know, you never know.
I doubt that.
I'm taking the tour right now. And Gabby, your picture's in it with you and your husband.
We're right there.
Yeah.
So, fun fact, Peter, and I'm grateful for the Clarion Herald, literally, because, of course, the back of the cathedral, there's no air condition. As you're waiting to walk down the aisle, as I open the doors, I had my breath in my Maid of Honor fan, the Clarion Herald, so my makeup doesn't like melt. So anyway, grateful for the Clarion Herald at that moment.
There is a purpose for print. You see, there's a purpose for print. It's a great fan. All right.
Of course to read, but okay, let's talk about back to school. So the August 6th issue has a ton of back to school stories. Tell us a few of them.
Yeah, well, obviously, everybody knows how much education and academic achievement were impacted during the pandemic, but also the social and emotional behavior of students was seriously impacted. And Catholic schools certainly have reported they're no different than a lot of schools, but the Catholic schools are really uniquely prepared to deal with the spiritual and social and emotional needs of students, because they can talk about God, they can talk about their faith, they can really make children feel respected and loved, and they can watch and help students if students are acting out or having, you know, difficulty. So at a convocation just last week, principals from across the archdiocese gathered and just got a panel discussion of how to help students who might be still struggling somewhat emotionally, you know, based on what has happened the last 2 years. Everybody knows that there were statistics shown that just even the rate of depression and even suicide attempts is up among children. So it's something that Catholic schools are very much aware of, and they're really trying to take steps to use their faith and use the way they can relate to students to help them, you know, with this, what we all know has been challenging times. So it was a really great panel discussion that the teachers had and the principals.
Well, Peter, another thing that as parents we entrust with those in our school and the school administration is school safety. Talk about how that is also talked about in this issue.
Yes. Well, the Louisiana State Police gave a grant to all schools, not just public schools, but to Catholic schools as well. And the Archdiocese is taking advantage of it for a what's called the Rave Panic Button app. It's on the smartphone. And just it's geofenced so that if you're at a school, the kind of the perimeter of the school is kind of it's known and it's located. And if, say, something happens, such as a fire or a medical emergency or, God forbid, an active shooter comes in, you can press one button. And it not only notifies the police and the fire authorities, but it also alerts people inside the school that, hey, that someone has pressed this button, and we know what the – so it's an instant communication vehicle. And a lot of schools now are activating this technology. And really, schools are doing everything they can to make children safe. St. Peter School in Covington just put in a $20,000 camera system so they can see every corridor in the school. And as Michael Krause said, the principal, he said, you hate to, it's just the time and the world that we live in, and you hope that by doing enough of these kind of things, it would deter anybody who would be, have nefarious motives. So obviously, schools are very much aware of the security concerns that are going all around the country.
Well, yeah, we'll definitely read that part of the Clarion Herald this week. You have another story about a new Italian-made pipe organ. Tell us about this.
Yes. Well, Notre Dame Seminary got a legacy gift several years ago, and because of COVID, it got pushed back and whatever. But in Padua, Italy, an organ building company has built an organ, a new organ that is now being installed in the Notre Dame Seminary chapel. And the amazing thing to me was that they crafted this to fit exactly into the space. They assembled it in Italy, they disassembled it and put it in crates, and then the crates were shipped. It took 7 months because of the crisis of the shipping channels and everything. It left in November. It arrived in New Orleans in July. Can you believe that?
Oh,
and so now,
for
the last 3 weeks, or the last month, they've been installing the organ, and it's supposed to be ready for its first note sometime in the middle of September. So, the original organ is going, which needs a little bit of repair. It's going to the Diocese of Lake Charles, which has an oratory. And they've agreed to restore there's new life for the old organ in Lake Charles. And so that's a great kind of full circle story.
Oh, my goodness. That is amazing. I love that. Well, another amazing story that you have in this week's Clarion Herald, Peter, is a story on a 95-year-old nun that's still singing the praises of Catholic education. Tell us about her.
It's amazing to be able to interview some of these people. Sister Marie Claire Powell, she's a school sister of Notre Dame, incredible woman. She's the former principal at Redemptorist High School in the Irish Channel. But she's done so many things in her life. But one of the most impressive things, she taught English to Vietnamese nuns over in Vietnam, and also for 10 years taught English to Hungarian children after the fall of the Iron Curtain. I mean, at 95, she's living in Covington at St. Anthony's Gardens, but she's still teaching she's writing a book. And just about three years ago, before she got to Covington, she was teaching public school students in Chattanooga during the summer how to hone their reading skills. So it just goes to show you how she represents the sisters who have just given their entire lives to God and to other people. And she's just an amazing woman.
My goodness. And the stuff that she has lived through, 95 years.
That's
amazing.
Right.
I'm sure it was fun to talk to her.
Yeah, it was great. And, as she says, really, the world's ills could be solved if people really, if not just an education, but a values, a faith-based education where you're taught about God and you're taught right and wrong. And she talks about the value of the Catholic education. And I think at the beginning of the school year, it's good to remind all teachers of what impact they make on kids' lives.
Absolutely. Peter Finney, editor and general manager of the Clarion Herald. Peter, where can we read more stories and pick up our copy?
Sure. Yeah. It's in every church this weekend at the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and also online right now. Every page is up, and that's clarionherald.org.
Awesome. Peter, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Gabby. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Such amazing stories. And we want to pray for our teachers, our educators, our homeschool parents that are getting back into school and starting that routine again. Of course, for the parents and the students. So everyone involved. I know it's a big week or a big month for a lot of people, but yeah, praying for everyone involved. So yeah, great stories from Peter Finney. Check that out, clarionherald.org. I linked the website in the comments section for today's Facebook Live video. Dina Dow joins us when we come back from the break. She is the Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Baton Rouge. It is half past the hour on Wake Up.
And we are back, 35 after the hour, and a happy Wednesday morning to you, August 3rd. And already 35 after the hour, so glad you could join us, Damian Collado, Gabby Smith, and our guest today, Dina Dow, who's in studio for the entire show, but it's also time to chat with her about what's going on in the Diocese of Baton Rouge when it comes to evangelization and catechesis. And what we're really going to talk about today, because Gabby touched on it, was back to school, but in a different way, preparing back to school, but in a form of prayer to go along with it, right?
I love listening to Peter Finney, and I get so much out of reading the Clarion Herald, but he spoke about a couple of things that the Archdiocese schools are preparing for, which the Diocese of Baton Rouge Catholic Educators Conference was yesterday. So all the Catholic school teachers came together at Most Blessed Sacrament and had a wonderful, beautiful gathering, and two keynote speakers. One was about trauma. The second one was Father Tony Ricard, whom we all know him from the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and he literally lifted the roof off of the church. He was amazing. And one of the things that kind of was guiding my thought preparing for this segment was basically like the spiritual needs, you know, of our family, especially in prayer. And then the value of Catholic education in prayer. So I was thinking about, like, when you're getting ready for school, because this is really kind of a transitional time for a lot of people. You're coming off a summer. Your routines are a little bit different. So how do you kind of go back into
getting ready for school? It's hard to get the kids focused again.
And the last thing you want to do is put the TV on right in the mornings when the kids are getting up and ready to go to school. We did that for a while, and we kind of like, no, that's not going to happen. But praying before leaving the house, or some type of spiritual exercise or moment, doesn't have to be long, doesn't have to even be formal, but it could be some way, and it is, to set the tone for the day, that you're focused on Jesus Christ, right? So having this encounter with Christ before our kids leave for school is beautiful. So praying before leaving the house. There's no right or wrong way to pray, like for family. All families are different. All individuals are different. When they, even in college, you know, college students, this is a great thing to do. But if you want your family to pray, first of all, you have to pray yourself, right? Like we have to set the example. You know, so as parents, we have to set the example. But then how to make it a part of your morning routine. So looking back, because our girls are all adults now, but when they were younger, the opportunity to have breakfast together is really important, because breakfast is the best meal of the day, right? Gets you started, gets their brain going, ready for their tests and their quizzes and their reading. We would always have some type of literature or a book on the table that pointed to the faith. So we always had like a book of saints. Yes, we did have the catechism when they got older, because you read a line of the catechism a day, you know, and you get a little bit of conversation. Little prayer books. There's tons of meditational books, children's Bible, prayer books, anything that can impact a young person to be able to get ready for school. But it's Jesus first, then school next. Right. Yeah, that's setting that foundation.
That's a good thing to do.
Yeah. Even the saint of the day. We were talking about that earlier. And a quote from the saint of the day. You know, how's that important? Art. You know, having sacred art is really beautiful. So just having a piece of art on the table, you know, so the kids can have just this conversation, this focus of Christ before we walk out the door. Even praying during grace, because, you know, praying grace before meals is beautiful. And asking for intercessions. To pray for their teachers, for their principals, the administration, praying for people that they know may be sick, praying in gratitude for what they're thankful for that day. You know, getting the day started off with Jesus before heading to school makes a difference. And here's the kicker for us, the drive to school, literally, we had it on Catholic radio.
Oh, did you?
We did. Yeah. I mean, I still do. But we did. We had it on Catholic radio because we could hear the gospel. There was a reflection. Right. And so, you know, just things like that to kind of get the day started.
We would sing songs when I carpooled.
Really?
You know, you know, a little spiritual.
Really?
Jesus loves the little children, you know, whatever they wanted to sing, but it was only a 5-minute drive, so we could put up with each other singing that short period of time.
I know. Gabby, but, do you have routines? Do you ever do that when you were growing up or with your son?
Well, so you say put it on the TV. If we put it on the TV before school, he would never get ready. So, you know, but no, we're just kind of, we kind of do our own thing and then come together. Like, he knows when it's time to leave, and he's really good with that. But we really should do that. You know, that's something new to think about. But as kids, you know, my poor brother, we listen, because we had a 30-minute commute to school. We would listen to whatever CD I was into you know, week. So, and but we never did any of that. And so that's something, you know, I'm going to try. I'm admitting to that. You know, I'm curious.
We didn't do it as children growing up either. And same for us. My brother would drive us to school. We were in high school, and I learned every, like, songs in the backseat, you know, whatever my brother wanted to listen to.
Oh, those kind of just regular songs. Secular.
Religious songs. But it's
But you could sometimes get a spiritual message from someone.
Well,
Good.
I hope so.
I don't know.
It seemed like it was okay. But just
don't stop believing, Journey. What are y'all talking about?
He didn't play that music, but I mean, I did when
I'm
I could
just
drive.
Saying. Okay, all right. You can interpret it a lot of ways.
But like to really set the foundation for the day, you know, for them. But it doesn't have to be huge and just like enlightening. It's just real simple.
You do have to keep it simple.
Yeah, even a rosary, even a decade of the rosary. You know, things like that. You know, our homeschool parents have that beautiful, you know, gift of being able to be at home and really center the day on prayer, you know, all throughout the day. You know, when they're headed off to school, it's a different type of routine, and they may not get to that point yet. I mean, they pray in schools for sure. Some of them, go to a non-Catholic or non-Christian school, so they don't pray, you know. So there's a different ways that they can start off the day in prayer.
I can remember Ellen, my wife, would line up the three little ones, you know, and they'd say a prayer and offer up a little intention. And she always made sure, and keep them safe. It was always like that was the last line of the prayer every day. You know, so it was, what was, there was a show, a cop show that says, be safe out there. I don't know if she got it from that or what.
Yeah, I know. I used to say a lot of Hail Marys when my daughter started driving to school.
Oh, I bet you
did. They pull out the driveway. I'm like, Hail Mary, are you full of grace? Keep them safe. But just some ways so that our children can get into that routine of praying before we step out of the house.
Are there any books for children? I know at different ages, but boy, I'm thinking pre-K, first grade to about fourth grade. Are there some books that a parent could pick up?
I mean, I can't name them off the top of my head, but at your local Catholic bookstore for sure,
you would know, have
and
something.
Online. There's tons of, you know, books with like pictures, you know, and words. There's ways to help guide our children in prayer with the help of their parents, you know, because, you know, we're the first formators of their faith. So the domestic church is the place where the prayer begins, and then it's extended out into where we worship together in community. So why not, as domestic church, begin the day in prayer? Because the church, you know, all over the world is beginning their day in prayer with Liturgy of the Hours, even a psalm, you know, even kind of hinting at the Liturgy of the Hours through a psalm. Just one little line of the psalm, you know, can really kickstart someone's day. And even though they may, you can start any time. Because like, oh gosh, my teenagers would never do that. Well, you never know. You know, if you put a book on the table, put a piece of art on the table, where they are, you know, my husband used to put post-it notes on the mirrors of his children's bathrooms so that when they got ready, they'd have a little quote. Like a little love quote.
That's so nice.
Yeah. I mean, he's so kind. Like, that was just so considerate. Mm-hmm. And it would be something they would focus on that he would change it.
Yeah.
You know, some of them, they still have those on their mirrors.
So if they want to learn more about what's going on in the Diocese of Baton Rouge in general, where do they go to get information from you?
DIOBR.org. Right now, we're focusing on supporting our Catholic school teachers and our religion teachers to get, you know, started. And we're
Everybody goes back different dates?
On, I believe it's next Tuesday, so that's the 9th, I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah, so teachers are in service right now. And then we're focusing, too, on our parish directors of religious education and youth ministers as they start kicking off their parish schools of religion. So
and
it is just
public
exciting.
School students, would they go to catechism?
Our parish schools of religion, yeah. So all of those are starting to kick off, plus our sacramental preparation for confirmation. There's so much going on. DIOBR.org for more information on that.
Oh, I'm glad to see you're excited about it.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful.
Dina Dow, stick around. She will as well. We will be talking to Father Robert Altieg and his new book on marriage coming up on Wake Up. Good morning again. It's 48 after the hour, and it is moving right along. With us now, Father Robert Altieg. He is priest. He's been a priest for 33 years. He's featured guest on EWTN. You've probably heard and seen him on both radio and television. And he is the author of a book entitled God's Plan for Your Marriage. And I'm going to tell you, I'm looking forward to talking to Father about this. Father Robert, thank you for being with us on Wake Up this morning. And how are you doing to begin with?
Well, good morning. Doing well. Praise the Lord. How about you?
Doing fine. And let's jump right into this. Marriage. Oh, I tell you what, I was thinking about this as I was preparing for our interview. Where is marriage today in our world?
Well, as Sister Lucia had told the man who would become Cardinal Cafara, she said, marriage and family will be the last battle, the final battle between heaven and hell. That's where we're at. Marriage is the area that is under attack right now. Throughout the history of the church, the devil goes after different things. Right now, it's marriage. And the great blessing of that is that God always will raise people up to come to the aid of whatever area is being attacked. And the theology starts to get worked out. And in 2,000 years, there's really been not much written about marriage because it's always been staple. It's always been there as the foundation of society and of the church. But now, it's under attack, and the foundation of the house, if you will, is being broken. So now God is going to start building things back up, and that's a great blessing. So the tragedy for people who are married is that they're under attack. The good part is if they can turn to the Lord in prayer, it'll actually strengthen their marriage immensely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that the primary reason why you decided to write this book? Because, like you said, there haven't the books that I've seen haven't really had a whole lot of spiritual contact. It's almost like you went to a counselor and they gave you advice. What was your reasoning?
My reasoning is it was given to me. I've never thought of writing a book. I have dyslexia. So the idea of a dyslexic writing a book is kind of humorous. they took it out of the introduction to the book, but I said, I think I use the backspace key almost as often as I use the space bar. But nonetheless, it was given to me in prayer. And I'm just ideas and thoughts that I have never thought of in my life, and just jaw-droppingly beautiful. And so all I had to do was then put it together, you know, provide the context for each thing, explain them, and so on. But the main ideas in the book, I really can't take credit for. They came in prayer, and they are just beautiful. So this is, as you mentioned, this is the spiritual foundation for marriage. That's what this book is about. So it's different from most any book that you've read on marriage, and it has lots of new things that I have never thought of or seen or heard of in my life. And that's actually, if you've noticed in the book, I reached out to Cardinal Burke and asked him if he would read it because he was the church's highest authority on marriage and canon law. He graciously accepted and wholeheartedly endorsed it. So that's you know, for me, that was the point of saying, okay, this is on track with the church's teaching. This is going to bring things to a deeper level, and I hope will really transform people's marriages and hopefully even some of the church's teaching regarding marriage.
Yeah, marriage to me, 38 and a half years ago, it was two becoming one, and mm-hmm. that union. It seems as though we've lost that. How do we bring that back, Father?
Well, I think that the main thing is first of all, understanding what that union is.
Okay.
You know, because before I wrote the book, I asked a whole bunch of people, you know, okay, what happens to the soul when you get married? And the answer was the same from everyone. Well, you get all kinds of grace. It's like, yeah, but you get grace in all the other six sacraments too, but something actually happens to your soul in all the other sacraments. What happens to your soul in marriage? Well, you get grace. It's like, yeah, but. And so that was the point, is that to look at and say, no, if all the sacraments do something to the soul, this one must too. So it's the two souls that are united first and foremost. So marriage is a spiritual union first. And so to get back to where we should be with this, it's to focus on the spiritual part. Like you said, most books, you know, marriage has four aspects to it. It's got the relational, the communication, the physical, but the spiritual. Mm-hmm. And the spiritual is the foundation. So if the spiritual part of your marriage isn't in order, the rest of it's not going to be in order either. And then, you know, you look at the vow then of what's made, it's to love. And that we live in the most selfish society in human history, and selfishness is the opposite of love. And so we have to get back to doing what we're supposed to do in marriage, and that's the two people truly loving each other, which doesn't mean having happy feelings for one another. It means serving one another. It means building the other up. It means making the other one a saint. And that's what marriage is to be, to make one another saints and to raise up new saints for God in and through your children.
You're right. It trickles down to the children as well. And
absolutely.
I think I really feel for our young people, because the culture that we live in, at least in this country, they're totally confused, because marriage to me was always between a man and a woman. And I know you touch on that in the book. And before we run out of time, I'd like you to elaborate a little bit more of the Catholic's view on that.
Well, remember that, well, first of all, the word for the sacrament is actually holy matrimony. Mm-hmm. Matrimony comes from two Latin words that mean the office of motherhood. So therefore, holy matrimony is the holy office of motherhood, or the office of holy motherhood. And so obviously, two males or two females can't do that. You know, of course, mm-hmm. these days they can say, well, you can do it in vitro fertilization. That's a mortal sin. And a child is to be conceived in love, not in a test tube, in a true act of love. And that's, you know, again, that's what the marital union is. That intimate union should be a physical repronunciation of your marriage vows. It is a total giving of self and a total receiving of self. And so when we look at what God created from the very beginning, he separated, you know, Adam and Eve. And the two, Adam originally had the fullness of humanity within himself. Then Eve, you know, received part of that, if you will. Mm-hmm. Nothing different about the souls. They're both human souls, but there is now a male and a female manner of who we are and how we love. And so when the two back come together then, the male and female, now we have the fullness of humanity united once again. And again, two men can't do that. Two women can't do that. Only a male and a female can do that. And so it's the union of the souls. It's the union, therefore, the expression of the union of the souls is done in and through the body. But it's primarily that union of the souls, the union of persons to become one. That's what it's all about.
Well, Father, I'm going to recommend this book for anyone who is either getting married or is married, because I'm going to pick it up for sure and pass it around to my children, who are all, two out of the three are married, one's talking about it. So they got to read this book. Thank you for being with us this morning, Father Robert Altier, and good luck with the book. I hope it's a billion-dollar seller.
Well, I just tell everybody it's Our Lady's book, not mine. So I think she'll do with it what she wants.
Would you leave us with a priestly blessing to wrap up our show this morning?
Certainly, commending all of you to the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the intercession of St. Joseph, protection of St. Michael, the guidance of your guardian angels, and the intercession of your patron saints. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again. God bless.
Well, thank you. God bless you.
I can't wait to buy those. I'm going to buy them for my staff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be a book that's going to be kept around for a long time.
Yeah.
Really will.
Getting back to foundations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Wednesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.